Okay, so last week we were talking about the concept of nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs for us. Specifically, Rav Dessler started from talking about the story that the Medrash brings down, the Gemara, brings down, about how Mordechai is sitting and learning with his Talmidim, with his students. And Haman is coming, ultimately, to take him, dress him up in the royal stuff, and put him on the horse. Mordechai doesn't know that. He thinks this is the end for him. And Haman comes, knowing what he has to do, and he asks them what they're learning about. They told him that they're learning about the taking of the kmitza, of the handful, from the of the Karban HaOmer. And he says, well, your handful of flour is going to overcome all of the, you know, all of the gold that I gave to Achashverosh to kill you guys. And based on this, the Medrash says that we should not think that the mitzvah of the Omer is something that's light. Look at what it did. It was able to overcome Haman and his decree. So we're trying to understand what exactly that is telling us, what this is all about. So the Rambam tells us that our belief system is not something that is supposed to be based on signs and wonders. That's not how we work. We don't just believe in Hashem because he can do the coolest stuff. That's not the way any of this works. Because in the end, someone who just thinks that something is very, I can't explain it, it's breathtaking, though, that is not something that really holds for a person. Ultimately, the Yetzer Hara of a person and the world will come up with reasons and understandings and perspectives on why such a thing happened, to the extent that even the people at the time of the Dar HaFlaga, at the time when they built the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel, they came up with like a whole logic about how, you know, oh, what happened to Mabel, which was just not so long before? Nah, okay, you know, listen, once every, you know, couple, once every 1,500, 1,600 years or so, you know, the sky falls. So, and then we get flooded with water. So people can make up all kinds of crazy things in order to kind of push their own agenda as far as how they want to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if all it's about is just, what am I looking at, the stuff that I see. And the idea that there have been revealed nisim is something that has been a reality for, you know, all throughout the doros, throughout the generations, to very special and unique individuals. And the point of them, says Rav Dessler, is in order to be mechazik, is in order to strengthen their perspective on everything else that goes on in the world. So he says the following. So I'm going to pick up from page 126, from the column that starts with 126, but bottom paragraph. It says, Omnam gam l'shar b'nei adam marim nisim. You know what? Everybody sees nisim. Everybody sees miracles. El Hashem temunim b'soch se asher yikru lo teva. But you know something? They're hidden in the thing that we call nature. V'hem nisim nistarim. They're hidden. They're hidden nisim. V'yesh b'hem beiz gedarim. And there are two forms of this. Hagluyim shebe nistarim v'hanistarim shebe nistarim. There's the revealed hidden and the hidden. Right? Nothing is, like, we're not seeing a Kriyas Yamsuf. Like, that's not something that's coming our way. But there are two types of nisim that we do see. Something that's hidden but revealed, and then hidden and hidden. What does he mean? Hagalui shebenister, the revealed of the hidden, hainu shenire b'han hagas Hashem yisparach, uv'hashkachaso asher yisaviv sibas harbe. That is that one sees in the way Hashem is running the world and how he has a whole chain of cause and effect, and cause and effect, and cause and effect, and cause, v'sibos l'sibos, and causes to causes, v'kulan ti'amana l'tachlis achas, and they all end up coming out with one purpose, to the point where you can't just say like, well, that's a coincidence. Kamo shehes amis chalke mechona eina ba b'mikra. The idea of a machine, like, you know, like, well, that's pretty crazy that all those cogs fell into place, right? We're right next to an engine and they're all connected to each other. It's not true. We all know that such a thing only comes about because someone puts it together and they've thought about how this is going to cause this and this is going to cause this and this, and it's got 10, 100,000 million steps that of cause and effect and cause and effect and cause and effect that allow things to happen afterwards. V'kisha inyan chiddush, and when all of a sudden there's like a chiddush involved in it, like this is something we never saw before, mispalim u'misrakshim liros esepela v'roam b'zeh ma'aseh Hashem. And then when we see such a thing, we take a step back and we are just, we're awestruck. And we feel that we're seeing something that is a wonder. And through that, we see Hashem's hand. We see that Hashem is doing something. Now, v'afal pisha kol misnal b'sof gidri ha-teva, even though everything is really running within the rules of nature. So all of the different stories that mikol makom hagilui morgosh, nonetheless, we still feel the revealed part of it. So many of these things we only are able to get with 20/20 hindsight. It's not necessarily so that we see in real time how these things are happening, but a lot of times we can look back. And so whether it be the story of, you know, how Rommel wasn't, you know, he wasn't, he was busy running through the Middle East, and how he gets turned around over there before getting to Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, what's going on? He's not around by Normandy. Like all of the different things about how different elements of World War II and how things went down with all of the horrors that took place, like notwithstanding that, but how there were a number of coincidences that came together to allow the Allies to, you know, get themselves into, you know, the European mainland. How throughout history there have been different circumstances that have managed to come about. Think about the Six-Day War and how all of those events transpired and came to be, and how everybody fell for something, and the amazing Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem that was felt. Where was the miracle? Where was the actual, like, what defied nature? Nothing. But nothing had to defy nature, and yet we were still able to say, ah, Hashem is here. That's a gilui, a revelation, shebenister, that's inside, it's hidden. It's not Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not water splitting. That's not what's going on. It's natural events, but natural events that are coming together in such a way that people are writing books showing from this angle and that angle and this intelligence and that, put it all together, boom, look what happened. And then people stepping back and saying, oh my gosh, Hashem is here. This is a real thing. Now, Aval Hanister Shebenister. Now, the hidden in the hidden. What's that? Hainu dvarm hanakrum tivim. That's what we just call natural. Shekvar hugulu bahem harbe. We are just so used to them to happen all the time. Umemela mishum she'ein bahem davar chiddush. Because there's nothing that's a chiddush about it. Ein mashi yisorenu. Nothing about it like lights us up. Like, you know, nothing awakens us when we see it. V'hanes nister mimeno legamri. There are so many things that are like, you know, if you would take somebody from the Amazon rainforest and drop him into, you know, the middle of Times Square, right? Like, who knows? Like, he would just be, he'd fall down and collapse. How overwhelmed he would be by all of the various different things that he is, they're just beyond words for him to explain. He has no flashing signs, people, cars, like the traffic light. I mean, nothing would make any sense. He'd have zero context for understanding any of that stuff. we see it as just like, man, I mean, like, of course that happens. And if the lights somehow go out, then to us, that's the chiddush. Like, hey, what happened? Where's all the flashing lights? Where's the traffic light? Why aren't the traffic light? Like, why aren't the cars working? So we're so used to things that, because we have an understanding of different laws of science and different laws in nature, and we've taken those things, our understanding of them, harnessed them, and utilized them for things. So it's not just that we're used to them, but we almost feel like we're the masters of them. We feel like we're in control of them. Now, we're not in control of the source of them, but that's something that, you know, we don't like to think about too much, how we're not in control of them, really. So these are things where the nace is totally nister. There's no thought that there's anything unusual going on here. Mishiro yad Hashem gam benister shebenister. But the person who sees the hand of Hashem, even in that hidden of the hidden, zoche sheyiru lo min hagilo shebenister. That's the person that's going to see the revealed hidden stuff. Leman sheyuchal lechazik bazeh es emunaso. So that that person will be able to strengthen their emuna. So what's going on is the following. You have a person who looks at life and they see Reb Chanina ben Dosa, the famous story with Reb Chanina ben Dosa, where he says, of course, like whoever says that oil can light can say that vinegar can light. Now, to us, rational, you know, 21st century people, right, we're like, that's the most absurd statement in the world. I mean, oil lights because it has these properties and it's able to do this and that, the other thing. And vinegar doesn't have those properties. What do you mean, whoever says to this, that? So, Reb Chanina ben Dosa understood in his context, you know, the same basic idea. But what he said was, listen, who said that that's the rule? Who said that just because oil has the properties that it has, it's something that can light and ignite and stay lit and be drawn up through a wick and burn away? Whoever said that that's true can say anything is true. There's nothing that's harder for Hashem to do. There's nothing easier and harder. Yeah, Hashem set these rules into motion. So he, the person who sees just regular life as Yad Hashem, so Hashem shows him, you know something? I'm going to give you a little flash of inspiration, and I'm going to show you something that Reb Chanina ben Dosa almost expects it to happen, that like, yeah, you can light, anything can light, so yeah, why not the vinegar? And boom, the vinegar comes and lights up. What does that do for a Reb Chanina ben Dosa type of person? It strengthens his perception of everything of being from Hashem. So he's on this cycle of perceiving Hashem in what's the hidden of the hidden, getting these flashes of revealed within the hidden, and that will only enable him to double down, triple down, quadruple down on his perception of everything being from Hashem. So Hashem gives these cycles of perception to individuals and sometimes to Klal Yisrael as well. V'kivin shu roas and nigla shebenister, and when this person sees the revealed part of the hidden, azay mavchin bebehirus odioser shekufas maisei Hashem gam benister shebenister. So then, all the more so that person sees how everything is the Yad Hashem, everything is from Hashem, even the super hidden stuff. V'kohu ola tamid b'hashgaso es Hashem yisparach ba'olamo. And through that, a person becomes more and more clear in his perception of Hashem in this world. So, and just taking the Six-Day War as that example again, right? The Six-Day War triggered a tremendous tshuva movement in our world. And so much of it was that there was something that people saw. I mean, I hate to say it now, but for whatever reason, one of the, you know, silver, you know, linings that of our present matziv is, for whatever reason, there's this perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that people felt, even though it's not through a positive, right? We like to think of, like, you know, the Yad Hashem as always being like, oh, this wonderful thing. And like, you know, it's just, it's always, happy stuff. You know, sometimes people are able to see that Yad Hashem unfortunately, through Rahmana Litzlan, terrible things. But maybe it's through the way people react to it. Maybe it's through the way that, you know, the things that had to have come together in order to have such a horrific act take place is also Yad Hashem. It's also something from Hashem. And people could choose to see it, or they could choose to, you know, chalk it up to randomness of whatever. But the people who see it as, wait a second, there's something here, and that therefore it triggers them to daven, to see that, wait, Hashem is in this world on a regular basis. That's what brings people to ultimately do tshuva. And through that, the hope is, and what ends up happening is, people are able to get flashes of revelation. Again, not wacky stuff that happens, not like, you know, it's crazy. Like yesterday I was like trying to rinse my mouth out after, and my cup of water split. Like, you know, that thing doesn't happen. Like, but we do have moments in our life where I feel like I'm perceiving Hashem over here in a way, the way things came together here, there's something special that I'm sensing. Hagilui Megala Logamas HaNister. So the revealed really reveals the hidden. And Kishemavchin Benister Zoche Legaluyum Nosafim Vechozer Chalila. So it sets up the circle of a person perception just getting clearer and clearer and clearer and more sure of Hashem's presence and the realness of Hashem in every single thing that's going on in a person's life. So now we get to the Omer. So it's interesting. The Omer is something that we always associate with, like Sfiras Omer, and after Pesach, Pesach to Shavuos. So let's think about what the Omer was. V'hinei, inyan ha-Omer hu l'hafchin es maseh Hashem b'soch ha-teva. You know what the Omer was? The Omer was an offering. It was a grain offering. It was the offering that allowed, after the Omer was brought, it allowed us to have the new grain. Right, there's a concept of chadash and yashan, and you know, to us it's kind of like, you know, you probably all know somebody who keeps yashan or something like that. That is in Eretz Yisrael, that is a real deal halacha. Like the guy who was the head of maintenance and like the cook in the yeshiva in South Bend. He's a non-Jewish guy. He came from, his grandparents came from Poland. Like, real Catholic. His name is Leon, actually. And it's so he said, he told me once that he was sitting in church, and the reading of the day was from the book of Joshua. And they're reading this thing, blah, blah, blah. And somebody asked the priest, said, like, I don't get it. Like, what is this about? Like, with the grain and the this and the new. And the priest is like, I'm not sure. And so Leon, he told me, he's like, I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, it's Yashan. It's Yashan. And he's like, what? He's like, he goes, Rabbi Beckhoffer keeps Yashan. This is Yashan. This is like, and he said, he knew that, you know, during this part of the winter, everything, like, you know, starts being, it's the new grain. You can't have it yet. You have to wait until this date. And then that's what was going, and he was right that was Yashan. So it's something that, like, it's foreign to us. But that's what the Omer did. Okay, so now, Ein Yalkut, look at the Yalkut. It says, Amar Rebbe, Benoik Sheba Olam, the way the world works, is Adam Lokech Litra Basar Min Hashok. You go to the store, you buy a piece of meat. So he puts in effort to go and cook it. And people are like sleeping, like in their beds, like people aren't doing anything. And he says, like, you know, you go to the store, you buy meat, so you have to put in a lot. In, like, say, so you have to earn the money to pay for it. Then you get it. You cook it, right? You put in all this effort to make it. Meanwhile, what do? It's like we lie around on our beds, and, you know, somehow we have this thing called grain and bread and vegetables and fruit. And who do we pay for that? Like, what do we do to get that? Nothing. All we have to do is we give Hashem offering called the Omer. That's it. Some grain. Amrav Pinchas, Adam Mechabes Ksuso Bimosa Kshamim, a person washes his clothes in the rainy season. Kama Yigias Yaga Achelo Nigva, right? Like, how long does it take for that to dry? Right? Rainy season, I guess, right? Back, no dryers. V'habrius yishena mamitoseim. Meanwhile, we sleep, we're doing nothing. V'akadosh Baruch Hu motzi ma'at ruach u'menagev es aretz. Hashem takes out a little wind, whoosh, all of a sudden the ground is dry. So Hashem does that, right? U'bir ma'aral. So the ma'aral explains. Bizman shelo hayu nisim v'neflos ba'olam. At a time that there were no real revealed nisim and wonders in the world, ala olam hayu no k'min hago. But the world just like ran regular. Amdalahem mitzvah se'omer. We had a mitzvah called the Omer. Why? What did that do? Ki ha'omer mevi'in el ha'kadosh baruch hu, v'shvil shehu minag ha'teva, v'in ha'teva me'atzmo. It was our way of saying, Hashem, we realize there is teva, and it is not something that operates on its own. Aval hu yisparach manag ha'teva. But it's that he does it. That's what the Karban HaOmer was all about. So Pirush, meaning, when we recognize in the hidden of the hidden, which is just regular, yes, we have an expectation that the ground will crank out wheat, that after it rains, the sun will shine, the wind will blow, and everything will dry. All of these things we just take for granted. But through that, we are able to get the revealed part of the hidden. Umasik sham v'zahatam, and so he concludes and says, this is the reason shebe Megillah lo nimsa shem kadosh eno nimchak. This is why Hashem's name isn't found in the Megillah. Ki lo nira b'hanhaga zos hativis shmo ha-gadol shemechadish nisim rak beremez bilvad nisgar. Hashem's name is not in the Megillah anywhere because Hashem's name is always like, when you see Hashem's name, it's like, oh, see, Hashem is here. Oh, see, Hashem is there. Hashem did this, Hashem did that. The point of the Megillah story is that there's no obvious arrow saying this was Hashem. There was no moment where everything was going bad and then Hashem said, okay, let's just change everything around, even though he did change everything around, but let's unnaturally change everything around, flip it around, make a makkah happen to these people, and then boom, all of a sudden things are going to go the other way. Hainu, so the name of Hashem isn't there because Shelo Hayah Nes Hazeh, there was no Nes. Im gam giloi hayu mitzat his ames ha'ashkacha el besocha teva shu besocha nister. The whole thing about the Megillah is that it is something that is working in the hidden recesses of how this world works. Everything is political intrigue. It takes place over a decade of time. This is not like, you know, some quick story that just happens and there's some sort of like rise and fall of this queen or whatever. None of that is true. This was something that really, really, really was just smoothly, seemingly integrated into regular world and regular life. So, but what happens? So it says, V'ad kama nisgala lehem ha'galu shebenister. But you know what was revealed to them? They saw the revealed things in the hidden. Nistakelna b'his ames ha'sibos ha'shonos ha'Megillah. Think about what happens in the Megillah. So he points out, track one, Su'udas Achashverosh. Achashverosh makes a Su'uda. Siluk Vashti. Because of that Su'uda, Vashti, she's out. There's a vacuum. Okay, Hamlachas Esther. That's where Esther comes in. Esther Baal Beis HaMelech. Esther comes to the king. Then she invites Mazminas Haman Lemishta. She brings Haman into a party. That's track one of the story. Track two, Bigson and Seresh are plotting. Giluyov al yedei Mordechai. Mordechai says, he calls him out. He points them out. Then Vatomer Esther lemelech b'shem Mordechai. Esther says it in his name, so he's written down in the book. Then one night, the melech can't sleep. Then, third track of the story. Haman becomes this big guy. Everybody's bowing down to him. Mordechai refuses to bow down. And then, sorry, I just turned the page. I'm just trying to move a little bit. And then Haman comes to the king to hang Mordechai. And then all of these things kind of come to a head at the same time. So you have Haman. So he grows, he gets big. And then he wants to go hang Mordechai. At the same time, the king remembers that way back when Big Son and Seresh were trying to start up with him. And hey, wouldn't you know it, that night, that's the night that Ahasuerus remembers that I've got to repay Mordechai for what he did. And at that same time, Esther has set up that Haman is supposed to come to a party with her that night. And all of those events come smack into one day. How about that? So it's, you could just like imagine that, like, you know, people who are living in Shushan, they don't know, first of all, they don't know any of this stuff is going on. Like, this stuff is happening in the palace of the, and there's no paparazzi. Like, none of this stuff is out there. But what ends up happening is, v'yatzimizeh, and what comes out of this is, ki beis hafaches gimel, storyline number two, which is Mordechai needing to be rewarded, flips around story number three, which is about Haman's rise to power and his wanting to destroy Mordechai, through Aleph, through the whole thing having to do with Esther getting into her place. So, mamish kemachona mechuvenes besidura meirosh. This was a well-oiled machine that was perfectly set up, that everything would come and happen right on the spot. And that is the picture that we get over here of the naturalness of what happens in the Megillah, but how that is really revealing to us, don't look at our natural world as being natural. Our natural world is really showing us things that are beyond nature, and that is how we're supposed to see our world always, and that's the lesson of Mordechai and Purim, and that's what we'll see more of this in Mitzvah Hashem next week.